Good morning. Welcome to St. Catharines United Mennonite Church today, this first Sunday of February. If you're following the liturgical calendar, it's probably the fifth Sunday of the season of Epiphany, of the season of light. Another 47 Sundays left in this year. This year has 53 Sundays, if you knew. Last year had 52 Sundays. Why this counting? Did you see the sign out front? You see the bulletin sermon today? It's year-end accounting. We look forward to hearing our pastor speak on that theme today and what the Lord has shared on his heart. We hope that you will find encouragement today for today's living and renewed strength for the week and days ahead. Turning to a few of our announcements. Today, immediately after the service, will be our annual general meeting. There'll be a short break between the service and so they can set up. Kevin has an announcement. While he's coming up, let me just say that there's lots of things in the bulletin. Take note of all the shares and of joys and concerns. Keep those in your prayers. They'll also be in our pastoral prayer this morning. Week at a Glance is a good place to see what's happening in our church this week. Take special note, the German choir is meeting this Thursday at 7. The rest of the bulletin, there's opportunities that you can read about to participate in, and there's also announcements that are administrative. Make sure that your contact information is up to date for the church directory. There's information about how to give and to continue to support the church financially. Kevin, please.
I'm going to ask Kurt and Dutch to join me on stage. As Alf had mentioned, we're having the annual meeting today, and we'll have a brief 10-minute break while we set up for the meeting and something different this year. While we have that short break, there will be coffee and I think tea and some cookies in the back narthex. So if you want to avail yourselves of that, please feel free to do so. And then come back in. So don't just take the cookies and leave, but take them and come back in. So thanks, Alvin. So I'm sure everyone is a little anxious to hear what I have to say this morning, but before I make an important announcement, I would just like to take this opportunity to thank the congregation for all their support and prayers during my time on council. It has been an honor to serve on council these past 11 years, with the last 8.5 being as council chair. These past few years have been hard on everyone, including myself. There is a season for everything, and it is now time to take a step back and allow for new leadership. So I'm going to ask Kurt and Dutch to come on up because these guys are taking over. So I wanted to say a special thank you to Kurt and Peter for taking on leadership as co-chairs. And I know they will do an amazing job, and I want to wish them God's blessings as they go forward. And so this will take effect immediately after the service. So this will be my last announcement today. And I think God has, you see God's spirit and how things go. And 11 years ago, on my first council meeting, Ken Gaisley announced to church council that he was resigning. That was my first meeting. So today, as my last announcement as council chair, I'm going to ask for a slide up there. I think Aaron has it. So, today on behalf of the Pastoral Search Committee and Church Council, I am pleased to announce that Pastor Tim Amour has agreed to a formal candidating weekend centered around February 26th. Prior to becoming a pastor, Tim worked as a private school teacher, along with several other ministries such as Youth for Christ. After Tim completed his Masters of Divinity at McMaster, Tim accepted a pastorate with Mennonite Church USA at Beatrice Mennonite Church, which is now called 7th Street Church in Beatrice, Nebraska. He has been the pastor of this congregation for more than 7 years, leading that church into a period of spreading the word and growth. Tim grew up in Burlington, Ontario, and is married to his wife, Jennifer, and they have two young boys, Oscar 4 and Gus, which is short for Augustine, who was 1. Tim is very musically talented and has managed actually to become the most followed Mennonite pastor on Twitter for some reason. Tim has a strong Jesus first emphasis in his ministry and life and emphasizes spiritual disciplines such as prayer. During conversations with him, we have found Tim to be very funny, engaging, and personable with people of all generations. We are very pleased and excited that God has provided us as a congregation with such a wonderful candidate. So thank you very much. And I'm going to ask Kurt and Dutch to come forward and share a little bit more.
So just to say, we're very excited that Tim is going to be coming and candidating with our church. We think you'll get to know and love him as much as the search committee and the council that was able to meet with him has. And so we're very excited to be where we are today in this process. And just one thing as well to keep in mind, at this same time, or give or take an hour, he's got a bit of a time zone difference, but Tim is also letting his congregation know that he is going to be candidating at another church. So I think it's important that, I know we've had a lot of prayers about our search process and what's happening now with our church. I think it's equally important that we be in prayers for the Summit Street Church as they're receiving news that, you know, their pastor is maybe looking to move on and that they're going to be having to look into the next steps of the life of their congregation. So I think that's just an important thing for us to remember as well. What we wanted to come up and talk about as well, just very quickly, is really what we were searching for as a pastoral search committee. And we spent a long time at the very beginning of the process sort of discerning what is it that we're really looking for in a pastor. We didn't necessarily want to look at a job description and go, actually we found some congregations that went down to like decimals of an hour of their time, but you know, you spend so much time preaching, so much time on funerals, so much time doing this and so much time doing that. We were really looking for someone that had sort of a vision for the church that could really look at the outreach and spreading sort of the love of Christ within our communities. And we felt that was very important. I think as we look around, we see the reality that our church was once very much what I would call a generational church. I think it's time that we look to be beyond that, because we're not going to be able to be sustaining, that we can be a broader Christian community and that we can have someone that will help us, and I think this is important, it helps us, we have to be active participants in this process, but reaching out and bringing others in, building relationship, building that community, and sort of spreading the gospel within our community for our church to be able to continue, because as we spoke about it, it's very important for a lot of us that grew up within this church, that have our kids in this church, and that we want to see have, you know, our own grandkids and, you know, great-grandkids within this church. And I think we need to look at ourselves in maybe a different light than the generational church we did once upon a time in order for that to be kind of become a reality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think part of the challenge but also the opportunity was to discuss not just what the church is now but where the church is going. And I think I can speak on behalf of the search committee that we were inspired through the discussion and the prayer that was happening within our church, and I know there was a lot of really fruitful conversations after so many of our meetings and discernment about the candidates. And unlike other churches, so you know, that only search a 5-kilometer radius, we search the entire globe. That's how good our committee was. To pull someone out of Nebraska takes the willpower of a church like this. Yeah. So it's nice that he's got roots in Canada, but we're hoping that you'll certainly enjoy his presence and his grace as much as we have getting to know him, and look forward to that process. The other thing I wanted to mention is I don't remember ever thinking that we would stand up front here and hear that a pastor is on Twitter and someone in this congregation would go woo-hoo. That's also progressive thinking, so thank you for that. So, yeah, as a search committee, I guess the only thing we can ask for is that that you have an open mind and an open heart and see what's possible and prayerfully still support this journey as we get through it, and God willing that this is the next great step in this church, which we're looking forward to. So thank you.
And we've mentioned a little bit about, or Kevin mentioned, I should say, Tim being musically talented, and I think we've got a few of his songs that we'll be playing sort of in the interlude between the end of the service and the very beginning of our annual congregational meeting. So you'll be able to be exposed a little bit to some of the hymns that Tim has played all the instruments for and recorded in his own basement. And I think as a last point, we're going to actually save it for the congregational meeting, but Kevin has already brought it up. And mentioned Kevin and as well, I think, Alvin, planning to move on from his time on church council, have both been kind of members of the church leadership through very difficult times, through a lot of pastoral changes, through the great challenges that COVID-19 provided as a church leadership. And so I think it's probably one of the most difficult times to have been sort of through those positions and to have been through it for the length of time that both of them have served this congregation. And so I think at the very least we can give them a round of applause and thank them for the service that they have been providing this congregation for so many years. Yeah, I saw some people standing up. I think the standing ovation is certainly warranted. And yeah, please feel free to shake their hands and thank them personally after. So thank you very much. Oh, for Tim coming. So we're still planning out the details of that candidating. So he is going to be here. The 26th will be sort of the sermon, the Sunday day. He will be here the week before, up until that Sunday. We don't know if there'll be any sort of candidating after. So we'll come with more details in the next little while, but plan to be available certainly that Sunday, potentially even having something the Saturday before. We're still working out those final details, and then when we'd be looking to have the sort of the vote and the final affirmation from the congregation, still TBD, but it'll be very soon after that. Thank you.
I just wanted to add that being on council for a few years, it was a joy to work alongside Alvin and Kevin, and certainly this is not disparaging towards Alvin at all, but Kevin, it's a significant nod in an organization when they pick two people to replace one. Means the job was big, so great job.
So that was the announcements. That was good news. Let's now turn to worship, prepare our minds, let go of busy thoughts, turn our attention towards God, making space for God to speak as our musicians come and lead us. Christ, please be our center.
Thank you.
The opening scripture reading today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. In your pews there is a Bible. If you want to follow along, it's 1756 is the page number, 1756. I say that because there's been a suggestion that we don't use those pew Bibles often. Having said that, however, today Pastor Randy asked me to read it from a different translation, so you can compare how different it actually is. It starts, "Therefore there is now no condemnation." Here it is from the English Contemporary Version. "If you belong to Christ Jesus, you won't be punished. The Holy Spirit will give you life that comes from Christ Jesus and will set you free from sin and death. The law of Moses cannot do this because our selfish desires make the law weak. But God set you free when he sent his own Son to be like us sinners and to be a sacrifice for our sin. God used Christ's body to condemn sin. He did this so that we would do what the law commands by obeying the Spirit instead of our own desires." Let's pray. Father God, we declare that we love you. We thank you that you have made the way of love known to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, a way that frees us from the grip of sin and death. We invite you into our midst, into our hearts and minds, and pray that you will further reveal this great love to us today as we worship. Lead us by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Boys and girls, time to come to the front to hear the children's story. I assume there are some boys and girls around. There we go.
There, my friends. There they come. Well, good morning again. It's so exciting to see you. And I have brought something to share with you. But before I share it with you, I want to tell you that today, Pastor Randy is going to be talking about kind of at the end of the year, stopping and taking a look back and about the importance of writing stuff down. So I like writing stuff down. I make lists all the time. But back when I was very young, I used to keep a diary, and here it is, where I wrote stuff down. And I thought I would share a few things in here with you that I thought you might like to read, a little something that a throwback to 1980. Mm-hmm. None of you were born then. This is very, very old stuff. All right, so here we go. The first one says, on June 8th of 1980, "Today I went to church. And after church, we went to McDonald's! Exclamation mark. I was very excited. I had a lot of homework, and we also saw slides of Egypt in church." I don't know what we were doing that day, but I was excited about it. I wrote it down. Well, let me see. I don't know if that's in here. Oh, here's another one. June 13th, 1980. It says, "Today I went to Grantham High School." I will tell you, Grantham High School is long closed. But anyway. "And I learned how to operate a computer." Exclamation mark, exclamation mark. It was really neat, and I had a lot of fun. That was a very big deal in 1980. No one had ever heard of computers. Oh, I'm so old. All right, here's another one. June 22nd, 1980, "Today was our church picnic. I did not win anything, but it was a lot of fun." Back in the days when we used to have games and competitions. Okay, here's a long one, but it is very, very exciting. It is January 4th, 1981. Now, This I'm late writing, but it says Happy New Year. Boy, do I have a lot to tell you. Let's start with Christmas. I got skates, a tape recorder, a rug hooking set, pajamas, an Afghan, and a Rubik's Cube. Boy, was Christmas fun. Now, for the new year. I slept over at Ruth's house. At exactly 12 o'clock, we, number one, threw confetti, number two, yelled, number three, wore silly hats, number four, shook rattles and blew horns, number five, toasted the new year with Dr. Pepper. It was really fun. School's back, and I don't like it. There we go. The Diary of Mrs. Friesen, an oldie but a goodie. And you know what? When I was looking through it, I was thinking about why we write things down. Why did I write those things down in 1980 and in 1981? Well, they were things that I thought were important. They were the highlights. Those were the big deals. The church picnic, the trip to McDonald's, the Egypt slides, the Dr. Pepper. Those were the things that were true and not make-believe. I can tell you for sure, all those things happened. And I wanted to remember them. I guess I wrote them down because I thought they were something I wanted to look back on. And you know, today when we hear the passage in Luke, there's a little part that I'll read to you where Luke is saying to someone named Theophilus, saying, I have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and I too decided to write an orderly account. So this is where Luke in the Bible is saying, I'm going to write some stuff down. So he is one of the many authors who wrote pages in this book, which is kind of like a combination of people's diaries, people's letters, people's songs. But if you for 2 seconds think that this and this are the same, they are most certainly not. The Bible is true and important, and these are things to remember. But this one, the Bible, is God-inspired, where all the words in here God gave us so that we could look upon them and we can live good lives, and it is here to help us, and that's super important and exciting. So while we remember and look back on the year, like I looked back on my diary, we'll remember that the looking back in the Bible helps us to look forward as well. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the words and the stories of the Bible. Please help us to read the Bible and to listen to the stories of the Bible and learn the lessons that you would like us to learn. Amen.
join together in pastoral prayer. May I say that towards the end of the pastoral prayer, a pastoral prayer has been prepared by our sister in the Lord, our colleague in ministry, Carol Penner. She has prepared what she has entitled an annual meeting prayer. And I will conclude the pastoral prayer with the prayer that Sister Carol Penner has prepared. Let us join together in prayer. For these ancient words, the words of Holy Scripture, may they be new to us every morning. Collectively, may we as a congregation give to the public reading of Holy Scripture. As Pastor Randy would anticipate coming and sharing with us from these accounts, these ancient words, may our hearts be warmed and inspired to continue our Christian journey. We collectively bow our knee and humbly give thanks to you, O God, in song, in scripture, in spoken word, in silence. Yes, even through the giving of tithes and offerings. May they be from hearts filled with worship. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us as a fellowship of believers. As we anticipate moving forward, may we do so with a spirit of discernment. And collectively, may we acknowledge that this is the Lord's doing. Through all of our trials and testings and tears, through these times of searching for a new lead pastor, we hold carefully these moments and pray for your discernment and your wisdom as we move forward. For faithful women and faithful men who have served amongst us, we give you thanks. For men and women within our congregation who have served in decades past, chronicled in the journals of your record, O God. For faithful men and faithful women who have served well within this congregation, their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would continue to raise up those with a compassionate heart to serve amongst us. We pray for loved ones, those hospitalized, those who are shut in, those who are weak in mind or body or spirit, that the healing balm of the Spirit of God would be upon our loved ones, and you would work out your perfect will in their life. We would pause for a moment and pray also for the congregation that Pastor Tim is caring for during these very moments, that you would calm his heart and that of his helpmate, Jennifer. Guide and direct even in the choice words that he would share with that congregation. We've been there where he is right now as a congregation. And so we commit that congregation to you as well and to Tim and Jennifer during these moments. Thank you, God, for this congregation. You have been with us since day one. Your presence guiding us. Your light leading us even in difficult times when the path was hard to find. You were with us through the pandemic, through changes and challenges. Bless our annual general meeting this year. We want to give thanks to those who served and empower those who take on new positions. We want to use our money wisely, open our eyes to discern new directions. And if there are difficult decisions to be made, we know that you will help us. We want our church to be a witness to you, immersed in Scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supportive community, reaching out to those in need. That's our hope. You know we aren't perfect. There are aches and pains in this body, but we trust that your love keeps us together and keeps us going. Let everything we say and do be for your glory in this meeting and in the whole year to come. Amen. Mary Ann.
Good morning again. I'll be reading from Luke 1, verse 1 to 4. If you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's page 1587. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And now, if you turn to page 1690, I will read Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God.
Thank you. This past week for my morning Bible readings, I began meditating with the Gospel of Luke. And it was in those first few verses that it struck me how Luke begins with intent of providing someone named Theophilus, person of high-ranking status, an orderly account of the life of Jesus. I was also pondering the task before us as a church community with our membership meeting to follow our service that the conversation we share is likewise giving an orderly account of our life together over the past year. Interesting to note the name Theophilus. Those of you who know your Greek, Theo, God. Philophilus. Means friend, God friend, or friend of God. I hope and pray that others of our wider community likewise recognize us in our being together as friends of God. With the readings I asked Mary Ann to share with us, the beginning verses of both the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, it's easy to recognize Luke is the author of both accounts. By the way, the image on the screen is my Daniel Whitby Bible, 1703. It is an original, 1703, one of my many Bibles. Daniel Whitby, a British scholar, if you think again of history, 1703, 100 years prior, approximately, 1611. Significance of that date? The King James Bible was released. Daniel Whitby, as a British scholar, he didn't like the King James, so he did his own. And consequently, not very well read or widely circulated, but Daniel Whitby's translation of the New Testament circulated. The Gospel of Luke is the longest of the four Gospels. In fact, it's the longest of the New Testament, the longest book. And together with the book of Acts,
The two-volume set accounts for one-fourth of the total New Testament. Hence, in addition to the writings of the Apostle Paul, Luke is a significant source of our understanding of Christian faith as the accounts have been passed down to us from generation to generation. It's commonly assumed that Luke was of Greek background. Greek background, unlike all the other writers of the New Testament who were Jewish. Luke is different. Luke was a frequent companion of the Apostle Paul, and Paul was made him known as our dear friend, the doctor, Dr. Luke. Luke's task was to provide Theophilus and other readers with the account of the story of Jesus, as would enable others to see the story, with which they were already partially familiar, that it was a reliable source and basis of their faith. Luke's purpose of writing was to inform his readers. Luke's method was to reflect on the past events and to project a future faith. Luke's goal, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught and to share with us the instructions that have come through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Confirming what we've heard to be true and to inspire us in the right direction for the journey ahead. This is what we gain from the Luke-Acts part of the Bible. And it sounds somewhat like what I would hope for us in an annual meeting to simply be a time of year-end account. But it's not just about the year-end. It's also the year before us. As a church, you've had opportunity to read and review the accounts given by the various church leaders with the distribution of the annual reports. If you haven't, there are still some copies in the back. And I have to admit, reading through annual reports, not exactly my most favorite pastime. And yet, they are a concise accounting of our life together over the past year with snippets of anticipation for the year to come. Luke writes in his gospel, telling Theophilus that the account he shares has been carefully investigated. It's based on eyewitness reports of events that have occurred. And Luke makes great effort to assure Theophilus that the account is orderly and convincing as to its truthfulness. All kinds of clues as to what Luke is trying to do in his gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. As to our church reports, our meeting afterwards, opportunity to hear personally from those who wrote them, an opportunity to ask questions and get further clarification, perhaps. Well, but that's a meeting. Stay with me. We have eyewitnesses among us. And yet, how do we know that what we have in the biblical accounts can be trusted as true? Story of how the Bible has come to us. It's a long and fascinating story, too long to summarize in a short sermon. But when compared with other ancient classical writings, the Bible has a very solid case for its accuracy. In my earlier studies of the history of the Bible, I had opportunity to visit a private museum, which included many ancient manuscripts of the Bible, both the Hebrew Old Testament and the New Testament Greek. The story how various Bible scholars have worked over the centuries at the task of copying and translating, again, fascinating stories. And woven into these stories is the dedication of faithful Christians who've committed themselves to ensuring an accuracy of retelling God's story to us and to the world. I want to be brief, but yet to say that the Bible reading this morning, the opening verses of Luke's Gospel, and then Luke's opening verses of the Acts of the Apostles, they are accounts for us concerning the story of Jesus and the story of the early Christian church. In this connection, Luke is sharing with us the story of God sending his son Jesus to live with us as a means of showing us the life of faith, the life of right living, so that we might thrive and flourish in life. God's story, acknowledging our human tendency to mess things up, for which there is the salvation side of God's story. Jesus demonstrates for us the way to redeem our failings and mistakes. Jesus extends to us forgiveness, the means of making things right after damage has been done in our relationships, which we all experience. Luke, the Greek doctor among Jewish writers, time and again tells us Jesus, who gives care and attention to those who are the outcasts and the outsiders, also acknowledges those who are the disadvantaged of society, and works hard at the sense of bringing them into the presence of God and restoring their place in God's kingdom. We learn this from the story of Jesus. And then Luke continues his compelling account of God's story with the Acts of the Apostles and the development of the early Christian church. And in concise terms, the first half of Acts follows the disciple Peter as he stumbles his way of following the instructions of Jesus, learning to depend upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the second half of Acts, following the account of Apostle Paul, his abrupt encounter with Jesus, his complete turnaround, discovering the saving grace of Jesus, his passionate sharing of life, the death, the resurrection power of Jesus, that which has since changed the world. And the story of the church continues. And we, as St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, yes, a very small gathering among churches across St. Catharines, across Ontario, across Canada, around the world. And each of us as a faith community have an important role to play in continuing the story of God's love for the world as expressed through the life of Jesus, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. Interesting, when Jesus was questioned by his disciples about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Jesus makes no reference to them needing to set up government offices. Jesus makes no mention of them setting up various offices and positions of power. When it comes to God's kingdom, the power and authority Jesus gave his followers was to be my witnesses. Be my witnesses. Not lords over others, but fellow companions in the grace and mercy of God. Being a follower of Jesus makes all the difference in the world for redeeming mistakes that have harmed the lives of others. Being a follower of Jesus guides us to a life of faith, of right living, so that we might thrive and flourish as people who know our place in God's world, people who know the purpose for which God gave us life. Being a follower of Jesus prompts us to be peacemakers, those who help others navigate difficult relationships, recognizing the dignity and respect of others because we share as citizens of God's kingdom together. While often there are religious words used to describe the follower of Jesus, one who finds salvation, one who's born again, or simply one who's had a change of heart, the reality is a changed life flourishes because we commit ourselves to learning to know Jesus, his life, his love, and his mercy. I hope and pray you've had the experience of the Holy Spirit nudging you toward a lifetime commitment as a follower of Jesus. I hope and pray that your story is a continuation of God's story, that of hope and redemption and fullness of life. And so today, as we review the accounts of the past year written and spoken for us, accounts of our life together as a Christian faith community, we look for the signs that hint at God's grace and love at work among us, at God's love and grace at work in the world, the wider community in which we live. May that be our experience as we follow Jesus. Amen. Just a reminder, before the benediction in the closing verse of the song, be about a 10-minute break to set up for the annual meeting. Friends of the church, please know that you are welcome to attend and participate. If there's any voting, that is for the members. During the break, there are, again, mentioned some refreshments in the foyer. Please help yourself, but then return to the sanctuary for the meeting. And now as we conclude our time of worship, may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him, keep his commands, decrees, and laws that he gave our ancestors as we seek to follow Jesus our Lord. Amen.